Good day to each of you. Welcome back as we are in session 9 of Paul and his letter to the Philippians. And today we're going to be talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus and learn a little bit more about the relationship of those who were serving this local community, this local church. And so to start out, I'd say this part of the letter really is a letter that is building up trust amongst these partners in ministry as workers in the kingdom of God, as workers within the church. And Paul is trying to build that for all through this letter. And as they receive that they recognize the good work done among all people. And so I'll read these verses. This is again Philippians 2, verses 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth, you know, how like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Still, I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy, and honor such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. So, you see the relationship that Paul has with both of these men. And there's some backstory that's important here. Some assumptions that maybe we make, but historically would have some truth to that. So first off, why practically and theologically does Paul single out Timothy and Epaphroditus? I think he does that here because they're working models for what Paul was teaching. And he wants them to be seen as people to be multiplied. Again, this focuses in on that sense of unity or relationship, that we're all in this together. I remember back a few sessions ago when I said, make my day, let my joy be complete. He's saying these two really represent that work. And so pay attention to that and multiply that and see what God is doing there. It's that pointing out of what he recognizes as God's work within an individual or within that temple of that individual, within that holiness of the individual. And so then what does Paul mean when he says that Timothy here has proved himself? Well, Paul was encouraged to hear how people encountered Timothy, and with Timothy himself, they saw him as a human being who cared genuinely. Again, he was the real deal. He had a vision of Jesus and how then everything else was to fit around that. Paul references here like he was a son to a father. Important to note in Paul's time, apprenticeship was a common way of being, a common way of functioning. So Timothy had really been apprenticed by Paul, and all of their work and upbuilding was for the sake of the gospel. And time again, Timothy's character would have been tested, because when you lead in community, you're going to be tested. And each time he had overcome those challenges, so he's really giving a full letter of commendation to Timothy and saying, again, he's going to be doing so much of this good work out there in the world. Well, then Paul starts to talk about Epaphroditus, and what does that teach us about God's character in the way that God relates to us. Well, for Epaphroditus here, he was from Philippi, we think, and he had brought money for the church to Paul. And he was there to help, to give that love offering, if you will. And what we think had happened is, from the writing there, is that he had gotten sick. And what that would mean is it took him a long time being there and coming back. Which, if you know anything about that, they sent him out with a bunch of money to give to Paul, an offering from the church, and Epaphroditus kind of just disappears. He's gone a very long time. What do you think people are thinking? Well, most likely they're thinking that he had stolen the money, that he had taken it. The belief is that Epaphroditus had traveled more than 700 miles potentially to be with him. And if that's the case, obviously, how long would that take? But then being sick and ill, and as it says here, nearly dying, he could have been gone a very, very long time. And so Paul is wanting to send this note back saying, trust me, he had gotten sick. No, he didn't consider taking a nice long vacation with the money that you have given. I think Paul is wanting to tamp down any arguing, struggling, infighting again over what happened with their gift, because Paul is sensitive to this, and he's concerned both for the church and for Epaphroditus. And by explaining that he was really sick and that he almost died, he's able to again point to, this is one of your brothers in this work. And so care for him too when he returns to you. He poured out almost everything that he had for this work. Now, there's reference here that Paul talks about Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier. He uses the word my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your minister, and your messenger. So there's a lot of descriptions for the work of Epaphroditus. And that soldier might strike us a little bit as odd. But some teaching around that is, in the time of Paul, most people had a synagogue or a place that they would call home. And as they traveled throughout the region, if they indeed did travel throughout the region, they would find another synagogue in a village or town where they maybe could feel at home. But most people didn't function much outside of their circle or outside of their group or outside of their synagogue. And so to use this word Roman soldier or fellow soldier, there's reference to the Roman army. Because you see, that Roman army would have been dispersed throughout the region. And even though they were in different cities and towns, the Roman army would still be in it together. There's a larger network that is relating to one another. So we think Paul here is really using that word, reclaiming that word, soldier, is how he sees the church will spread throughout the world. That there will be this loosely connected network of communities throughout the world. They will be spread everywhere, but their vision is the same. The vision is the gospel, the unity, the holiness, shining as light in the world, the death and resurrection of Jesus, putting on the mind of Christ. And we see there in verse 27, where it talks a little bit more about Epaphroditus, it says that the specific words are, he was so ill he nearly died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. Paul here is saying, take pity on him for what has happened. But I think Paul's also sharing some vulnerability and openness here that they had probably prayed together, and this healing didn't come quick. This was a longer illness. And just as in all cases of sickness and health, it's a very humbling thing to go through and to experience. And prayer is not like pulling something out of a magic hat. We don't have this image of a vending machine God. You just put up the request and God immediately does this. And so whatever Epaphroditus had struggled with, it was very serious. It was more long-term. And there was time of great wondering, perhaps, of would he ultimately be okay? And Paul was caught up in that. And he felt sorrow by that. And if something more grave would have happened to Epaphroditus, that sorrow would have been multiplied. Just like what we know happens in our life when things do not turn out in the ways that we had prayed for. And then at the end here, as he talks about welcoming him and the Lord with all joy and honor, all of those things, that he risked life. I think Paul is drawing this image of, this is what a model of Christian service looks like. Yes, it is costly. Yes, you have to put yourself out there. Yes, there is a risk. But through that, hold all of those doing that work with love. Because this work deeply does matter. And there's no reason when he comes back home to you that you need to question him about what this was all about. Just tend to him and honor the gift that he was in delivering this a love offering and being in this work together. Because again, Paul is aware of the sensitivities of the church and all of those serving, and he's wanting to hold them together, knowing that human relationships can be tough and can be a struggle because not everybody thinks the same, believes the same, patterns their life in the same way. And so he points again to the building up of the body versus the disunity that is so often experienced within community. And so maybe today you see yourself as a Timothy or Epaphroditus. Maybe you know of somebody who has served in such a way, in this way. And Paul, again, is taking a moment to thank them within this letter. And so a few questions for you to walk with in these coming days. Number one, are you being nurtured in the faith by someone? Are you nurturing anyone personally? And why or why not? Again, are you being nurtured by someone in faith? And are you nurturing anyone personally in faith? Why or why not? Number two, where do you need to experience God's mercy? Where will that be poured out? Where do you need to experience God's mercy? And number three, God is calling for allegiance in every area of our lives. What do you need to surrender to him? God is calling for allegiance in every area of our lives. What do you need to surrender to him? Hard questions, but deeply meaningful questions. Again, blessings to you as you live, love, and serve in faith. And we'll join next time as we begin chapter 3 of this letter to the Philippians. Take care and be well.